Okay, so a funeral dirge is not the kind of music usually associated with Valentine's Day, or maybe it's the perfect
Yeah, speak for
sound for a past
yourself.
relationship that has, well, expired. Log on to relationshipobit.com and you can write or read the obits for some seriously dead relationships. Let me give you an example. LC and MB, known for their not-so-subtle differences in age, religion, race, regional accents, and net worth, died after drinking a toxic dose of sanity. They were 2.5 years old. It goes on to describe the birth of the relationship at an art auction. You get the idea. I think, Rachel, in some ways, I think it's pretty healthy that these people know this relationship is over, no longer.
Let it die.
No more hookups with the ex, anything like that. And like many regional traditions, upon a death, sometimes there's a party to celebrate life and love, or at least look at a bunch of other people who are going solo on Valentine's Day. Kathleen Horn is a reporter for WNYC right here in New York City and the founder of RelationshipObit.com. Throwing a launch party tonight, right?
Yes, I am.
And you, this Wake for Love, is it actually happening at a funeral home?
I was going to have it at a funeral home, but it turns out if someone dies, you get put to the bottom of the list. So it's kind of hard to plan a party.
Gotcha. And you had a little bit of a tough time finding actually a coffin for the party. That was one of the things you wanted to make sure it was there. So people got the vibe of what you're going after.
It's hard to secure a coffin, but I...
Can you buy a coffin? You don't have to prove that you need a coffin. You can just get a coffin.
Not buy, but rent or yes. Borrow.
Understand.
Barter.
Now, one of the reasons she was looking for a coffin, describe to people what happens when you first log onto your website.
There's an illustration of a coffin with a broken heart in it. It sounds kind of silly, but it's symbolic.
I understand. Now, there's actually a fairly sweet story for how you started this website and why you started this website. Do you mind telling it?
No. My long-term boyfriend and I of 3 years nearly broke up, and then my dad died 2 weeks later, so there was sort of a cross-pollination of loss.
Mm-hmm. That's awful. And you thought the best thing to do is to vent your own frustrations and grief by bringing together other people who are also going through similar things, at least on the relationship score.
I was writing my father's obituary, and I've always appreciated the form of an obituary. They're not pathetic. Mm-hmm. They're just, you just lay out the facts of a life. Yeah. And I kept feeling like I should be writing one for my relationship, and the idea wouldn't go away. So finally I did, and I thought maybe other people would want to do the same thing.
Catharsis. Sort of
social experiment.
So people who sign on to the website and decide to submit obituaries for the site, describe to me some of the questions that you ask.
Cause of death, survivors, what each person will be remembered for, famous last words, things like that.
But that's nice. So it's not just this negative, this guy was a jerk. It's like,
no,
these are things
all
we brought to the table together and shared, and let's remember the good stuff too.
That's the thing about death. At least you get to memorialize it. And at least with that loss, you don't feel like a failure like you do in relationships. So I thought the obituary form would be a good way to sort of memorialize it and then move on. Mm-hmm. And have some fun in the meantime, too. I mean, I think there are also funny things about, you know, death and loss, too. You know, some of my favorite obituaries are funny.
Do you have one with you?
I do. It's too long to read, but I'll read the beginning. So the cause of death was complications brought on by an In-N-Out burger. J and V, a couple that died for a brief spell in March 2007 in Brooklyn, New York, expired for good in April 2007 in Phoenix, Arizona. J and V, who lived in Brooklyn, New York, and enjoyed floating down the streets of Red Hook, romantic cheesesteak dinners, and calling each other Woodmouse, survived for 8 months. The ultimate death, due to complications brought on by an In-N-Out burger from North 27th Avenue, New Mexico, was announced 12 hours later by J, who, after a long and broody flight to Newark, New Jersey, during which V refused to play hangman or answer J's silly would-you-rather questions, and told she was annoying him, arrived after a dispiriting conclusion that they suffered from a terminal case of a lack of goodwill. I won't go on.
Huh. But you know what? Who hasn't been in that position when that one question sends you over the edge? It's the death knell in the relationship.
The person goes on to talk about how she ate his cereal and he yelled at her for eating his cereal. And she said, if you loved me, you would want me to eat your whole kitchen.
There's logic in there somewhere. Something else on the site, which is fun, and we actually had a crowd gathered around, is you have a video element. You, as a reporter for WNYC, used your reporting skills, went out to, it looked like Union Square was one of the areas, and you started talking to people about how they would memorialize a lost relationship, a dead relationship. Let's listen to this one woman's response.
If there was, you know, in a park space, if there was a place, a public place where people could go have their burials for love, and you would see all these other people doing the same thing, and you would just bring your closest friends, and you could weep and wail and bury any little things that you didn't really want to keep anyways, like gifts that you hated or something that, you know, maybe had sentimental value, but you didn't actually want to keep them.
From your reporting, did you find out that, did people want to bury past relationships, or were they still holding on?
Most people I talked to, that they were talking about their exes. Some of them already said they had, you know, some kind of, you know, ritual or some kind
ritual.
Of something that they did. You know, a lot of it involves throwing out articles.
I was particle to flush, to flushing.
Flushing?
Yeah. If somebody sent me something, rip, flush.
Oh, yeah. I ripped. I ripped up stuff all the time.
Some of us are rippers. Some of us are flushers.
I also heard someone told me that they put the name of their ex in their freezer. And something about freezing out that name just, you know.
Or the fire. I had a friend put him in the fire.
Fire. The elements,
the
if
elements,
you will.
Yes.
So tell me what's planned for tonight. If you've got somebody listening thinking, okay, this sounds like it's for me, this party, this wake for love.
I don't know if we have enough space for everyone to come to the party, but I'll tease them anyways. So we'll have a drink called the breakup. I think it will taste too good to actually be like a breakup, but no one would want to drink the actual taste of a breakup. There will be a coffin with a wedding dress in it and a veil and some Valentines that people will, you know, address to their exes. And there will be a DJ playing breakup songs. Should I go on?
Do you think there'll be a hookup tonight as the result of this? I mean, if you're a betting woman?
I think loss does bring people together, Allison.
Kathleen Horan is a reporter for WNYC and the founder of RelationshipObit.com, holding a launch party for the site tonight. Yes, there will be a member of the BPP staff in attendance, and they will likely have a video camera with them, which means we'll see some of the event tomorrow on our blog. Hey, thanks for coming in. Nice to see you.
Thanks you guys.
Kathleen. And hey, we did it. That's it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. The BPP is directed ably by Jacob Gans.
Our staff includes Pashman, Ian Chalai, Wynne Rosenfeld, Angela Ellis, Caitlin Kenny, and Pauline Bartolone.
Our interns, Elsa Butler, Laura Silver, and William Hoffman.
Manoli Weatherall is our technical director, so ably assisted by Manya Zuba and Josh Rogerson.
Trish McKinney edits, Laura Conway edits our website and blog, and she's from Mississippi, not Alabama.
My bad. Our senior producer is Martinez. Sharon Hoffman is our EP.
I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Allison Stewart. This is NPR News.